Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to the Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast. We are now approaching the end of the Pro 14 series, and what better way to support Glasgow Warriors than with a free crate of craft beer. Get yourself onto beer52.com/thistle and you will get sent 8 free cans of craft beer, a copy of Ferment magazine and a snack that you can enjoy while supporting the Warriors. That's beer52.com/thistle. This month, the beers all come from Portland, Maine, on the east coast of America. So what better way than to show your support for Glasgow and Old Glory DC than by getting yourself onto beer52.com/thistle. All you have to do is pay $5.95 for delivery and you will receive 8 cans of craft beer. That's beer52.com/thistle. All right, Thistle Breakfast Show coming at you. Matt and Alan, how are you, boys?
Yeah, not bad. Just once again, a bit of an early start, but do it for the fans, do it for the listeners.
I'm quite enjoying it, actually, the early start. It's good to get them out of the way.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm excited.
So you're enthusiastic. Always late. You must be getting at least half an hour more.
You were the last
we
one. You were the last one here today, mate.
So I was the first one here.
He actually was.
All right. Yeah. Wow. There's lots to talk about. We're going to canter through the news and then obviously review that 1872 Cup match from the weekend. And to help us do that, Matt, you had a chat with Ferguson Jr., Matt Ferguson. How was he?
He was great, yeah. Really seemed really friendly, really nice guy, and pretty forthcoming with his answers. So, yeah.
All right. Well, we'll get into that in a little bit. And then there's a quiz, isn't there, Alan? Bit of a preview for everybody?
The man, the myth, the legend.
Tom Brown.
Ross Ford.
A whole quiz about Ross Ford.
Exclusively focused on Ross Ford.
Wow. Unbelievable. Look forward to it. We've lost our 50% Glasgow Warriors listeners at that stage.
Yeah.
Not interested.
Well, he was a Warrior at one point, so...
He's been a Warrior. He's been a Gunner. And he's been a Reaver.
Oh, yeah, he's got
Can we refer to Edinburgh as Gunners still?
I quite like referring them to as the Gunners. It's quite funny.
It's a bit un-PC, though.
Why?
Shooting and stuff.
Yeah, but it's named after, like, that's a ceremonial cannon that's never used.
Was it named
Warriors? Warriors is far more offensive.
Warriors is actually
really offensive.
Slightly offensive, to be fair.
And Reavers, I think, is another weird name for, like, a little, like, medieval raider or something. So,
well then. Yeah. We're offending everybody along the way.
There you go. That's it. We're a broad church.
We are, and we welcome them all. So let's kick it off with some news. Sorry, I should tell you how you can get in touch with us. Obviously on Twitter at Thistle Rugby Pod, Instagram, Thistle_Rugby_Pod, and into the mailbag, thethistlerugby@gmail.com. And if you're listening to us on iTunes, as we know many of you do, why not leave us a review? How about this one from Fraser Andy? 5 stars, said, would give it 4 stars, but the lack of being able to hear Alan properly propels the pod to a 5-star rating.
I don't really understand that.
I think it's maybe he gave us that after, do you remember the one couple of weeks ago where we were really quiet and you were particularly quiet?
And what he's saying is that if he was to hear my voice, it would be 4 stars.
Yeah. Your analysis takes a star off our performance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is what Fraser Andy's
saying. The fact
that
we can't hear you is a good thing.
Got you.
Is it worth at least, I'd say, 3 stars?
It's a real kick in the balls at 7:30.
Cheers, Fraser Andy. Thanks for that. Right. Well, let's get straight into the news then. The Scotland women's team have a new head coach. Philip Doyle has had 2 stints coaching Ireland women, including 1 Grand Slam in the women's Six Nations. He's been brought in to replace Shade Munro. Matt, what do you think of that appointment?
I mean, I'd be lying if I said I knew who he was. I think most people listening wouldn't have heard of him, but he's got a decent pedigree. I think Shade Munro's done a pretty good job. I think, you know, combined with probably better kind of overall systems and marketing, the women's game has got like a lot better in the last few years, and it's far more on everyone's radar. But I think Shade Munro probably took that team as far as he could, and, you know, hopefully this guy can sort of take them to that next level and just get them, you know, winning a few more games in the Six Nations every year, which I think is probably the next target for this Scotland women's team.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like England are so far out ahead of all the other teams, and it's kind of like trying to get to the top of that sort of second pack.
Yeah.
Which is achievable, and obviously, as I said, the steps that they've taken over the last sort of 18 months, pretty dramatic.
Yeah. And I mean, even like, you know, Helen Nelson getting picked for the Barbarians, it was last week, which is, you know, pretty amazing achievement. Not many Scots do that. You know, that gap with like the likes of England, who are fully professional. But it's good to see whenever you look at the Tyrrells Premiership, which has, I think, the best man of the match award. Have you seen it?
Yeah, it's a massive bag of crisps.
Yeah, it looks like it's been photoshopped.
It's incredible.
It's like all proportionate, but it's like 10 times the size.
But like Jade Conkle.
And there seems to be lots of Scots playing down there. So, you know, the more that can be exposed to that level, it's only going to be good for the national team.
I really hope that novelty man of the match awards like become an increasingly bigger trend.
Like what else? What else can you think of?
Well, there's the Tennent's Tinny of Joy.
Yeah.
And the big bag of crisps.
So Glasgow's main sponsor is Npower.
SP Energy Network.
SP Energy Network, yeah. So you get
an old, your own battery generator?
Yeah, that'd be like a massive generator.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You
wheel it onto the pitch and you have to deal with it afterwards. It's yours. Go take it off.
Maybe, what's the one, Chloe, just like bring on like a steak?
Kylo. Why can't you pronounce words?
Yeah. Like a massive hunk of meat.
Hunk of meat. Raw. Just like a whole cow leg.
Yeah, exactly.
And they could like brand Man of the Match onto it.
Oh, man.
Hand it over. You're welcome. You're welcome, Edinburgh Rugby.
There you go.
So it's an important time for the women coming up. They've got it's the start of their sort of World Cup qualification process, I'm reading here. So next year, the way it works is there's a 2020 Rugby Europe Women's Championship where they will meet Ireland and Italy, and the winner will automatically get a place in the 2021 Women's World Cup. So that is what is, as well as obviously the Six Nations, that is what is that Philip Doyle's been tasked to coming in. So best of luck to him on the new appointment. Other news coming out, Glasgow have signed 17-year-old schoolboy Jamie Dobie, scrum half, played Scotland under-18s, straight out of school from Merkeston Castle. Dave Rennie saying he's one of the most exciting talents in Scotland at the moment. I've only seen a couple of highlights reels, but he looks pretty decent.
Yeah, definitely. I think he's been earmarked from a pretty young age for success. And coming out of that under-18 sort of Six Nations festival, he was sort of written up as one of the best players.
Yeah.
And by all accounts, with what I've been reading since the signing, some premiership teams were circling around looking to sign him. So he's obviously held in high regard. It'd be interesting to see sort of his path, you know, when he starts at Warriors and, you know, how long it'll take him to break down the likes of Price Horn, even Matawalu, and then you've got Colleen Barreto there as well. So, you know, I think it'll be a gradual process, but yeah, he looks like an exciting prospect.
So funny stat that Ross Ford was playing Scotland under-19s when Jamie Dobie was born.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think Glasgow put one up. It was like Andy Nicol was Glasgow captain when he was born and had just been called up to the lines.
Yes.
Jeez, that.
Beal
won. 2001, yeah.
2001, oh, yeah.
What was I doing in 2001? Watching the Lions.
Watching Andy Nicholl.
I was buying a Lions replica shirt and thinking that I'd made it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, best of luck to Jamie on that.
It's interesting. We thought maybe more suited to Edinburgh.
I think by all accounts, Edinburgh and Glasgow both wanted him. Like, it was a bit of a tug of war for his talents.
Got you.
But then, I don't know, I wonder if the kind of scrum half he is, it seems as if he's more in that Price Horn mould than the likes of Paragos. So maybe it suits his game better. And I think regardless, he's not going to get proper game time for a while. Yeah. So
Edinburgh kind of need a scrum half now, not one that's going to be there in like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, and you've got Charlie Shields, the up-and-coming guy who, we'll get onto it, but looked quite decent in his little cameo at the weekend.
So there was, so basically, he's the last player, he's the first player to be picked, given a contract straight out of school since Jamie Ritchie.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was actually, Jamie Ritchie was slightly younger when he got the contract.
That's mad.
So yeah.
Jamie Ritchie's gone on to do some very good things so far.
He's been all right.
He's been all right. So best luck, Jamie. We will keep an eye on you. Come on the pod whenever you want. Come and tell us what it's like. Matt, give us a roundup. Silver Saturday at BT Murrayfield. All of the finals from the various leagues across Scotland.
It's quite a lot of results here.
We want them all. Do them in your best sort of results voice.
I'm not doing that.
Okay.
So the first match of the day, which I think was at 11:30 on the big pitch. So Aberdeenshire beat Dundee University Medics 34-31. Judging by the highlights, it was sort of a complete contrast of styles. Dundee University sort of playing in quite a fast, loose manner. Seemed to have some pretty exciting players, and Aberdeenshire just mauling till the cows come home. Just picking going. And they came good 34-31.
Imagine when they had to leave. Probably like, must have been up at like 6:37 to get to Murrayfield for the 11:30 kickoff.
I think by all accounts, they came down the night before and had a hotel and stuff. But fair play to them. I think it was only a few years ago that they tried to do a tie-up with Aberdeen Grammar that failed, and they sort of gone down the leagues, but they're sort of on the up.
Had a few bleak games at Aberdeenshire.
Oh, God, yeah. I made my debut for St Andrews up there, and we lost about 50-0.
It's dark time.
Then it was on to the National Women's Bowl. Greenock Wanderers beat... on the back pitches. Greenock Wanderers beat Livingston 72-12.
Wow.
A bit of a mismatch there, unfortunately. And in the National Women's Plate final, Stewartry, Mon the Sharks, beat Glasgow University 24-19. Then it moved on to the National Men's Shield final, which is a bit of a cracker, actually. So Greenock were up quite comfortably. And then Berwick managed to stage a comeback, which involved scoring 46 unanswered points in the second half.
46?
Plus extra time, wasn't it?
Well, I was saying, taking the match to extra time and then winning the match overall. So they scored in the last play of the game to draw and take it to extra time, and then they ran away with it. Like sister Andrew Skeen playing for Berwick, making quite a big difference. Then it moved on to the men's cup final, which looked like it was an absolute really exciting match. Aaron Harriott's deserved finalist and playing a really, really amazing fixture. Harriott sort of kept taking the lead until Ayr came back and Stafford McDowell scored a try in the last minute of the game. And then they had a penalty on the left-hand side and Fraser Climb stood up and punted it over with the last kick of the game to win 27-25. The highlights are all up and I'd recommend watching them. Some of the tries, really impressive.
It's a pretty baller kick to finish the game. It's like... Yeah. Not straight in front of the post and on the wrong side.
On the wrong side for a left footed kicker.
Yeah.
There were a few pro guys playing. So Jack Blaine was on the wing for Harriet. It's looking pretty impressive. And then, I mean, Ayr had Stafford McDowell and Paddy Kelly in the centres, Robbie Smith, a hooker, and Robbie Nairn on the bench, who Phil Smith, the Harriet's coach, described as a mountain. And he was having a bit of a dig, actually, at the pro draft and saying... Saying basically, you know, that a lot of those guys hadn't played that much in the league, and then when it got to like knockout finals games, they were brought in. I mean, likes of Stafford McDowell and Paddy Kelly have played quite a lot for Ayr this season, but
didn't Harriet's in the semis like shipping like Mark Bennett and Jack Cuthbert?
Yeah, but to be fair to Harriet's, they have hardly used any pros this season. And I think because Bennett was originally, I can't remember who he was drafted to, but they changed the draft because the team had been knocked out. So I think Edinburgh wanted to play him.
Yeah. This is not the podcast, but I mean, fair to Harriet's.
But. Yeah, exactly. But I think Phil Smith is making
poor,
an argument that
poor Harriet's.
Like that Glasgow were saying, well, Stafford McDowell needs game time. So yeah. He was playing for Ayr the weekend after he played against Saracens of Glasgow. He was
like,
this is ridiculous. And then the final match of the day, the televised Serabini Cup was won by Watsons, who beat Jordan Hill 21-17 in a close match, which having seen the highlights looked like a really high quality game as well. So good old day out at Murrayfield for all involved.
It's a massive day out, and well done to Watsonians winning the Serabini Cup. I think we can all agree that was the right result. I think that's it for news. Not a huge amount's going on. A couple of big performances from Scots down in the Premiership. Donkey Weir showing up Danny Cipriani in the big match to sort of secure Worcester's position in Premiership rugby next year. Scoring a nice try. Looking very, very decent coming into the World Cup squad selection.
I think the pudding does what the pudding does. All right? He can run a game and he'll kick his goals.
I think to be fair to him, I think you're like doing him a bit of a disservice. Like this year, I think he scored quite a lot of tries, and that Worcester team played quite a good attacking brand of rugby.
Yeah,
he seems to sort of be directing. But I know what you mean. I think he's on track. It's between him and George Ford for the Golden Boot.
Yes,
like he scored a lot of points in them. Admittedly, he's played a lot of games, but.
No, I mean they're losing quite. What Worcester backlines are you losing? Like Bryce Heem, Josh Adams, and Ben Taylor next year.
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty sweet having Francois Hogard at nine as well.
Like, exactly.
You are unreal, and you probably get so much more time and space because everyone's literally shitting themselves with Francois Hogard.
Yeah.
And then Conor Dupree back at number eight.
Yeah, it was good to see him.
Was that his first game back?
Maybe starting first game back. He's come off the bench.
He'll get into that wider Scotland squad come the summer.
Thing is, I just don't. So Wales supposedly the last 2 years have done like 50 man World Cup squads, and this year they've gone for 42.
Yeah,
41, 42. So I guess it just depends on how big Gregor Townsend wants to go.
Yeah,
I imagine if you do a 41 man, especially with Matt Ferguson playing as well as he is.
Yeah, I just don't think. And you've got Blade Thompson as well.
Blade Thompson, obviously Denton's injured.
Yeah, possibly. I just don't. I
it feels like you probably take one of Josh Strauss or Conor Dupree.
Yeah.
No point in taking both.
Yeah, that's true. We'll see.
Yeah.
And Rory Hutchinson's Northampton continue to move forward. Another big win for them. They've got a shot at top four. I mean, if he could get like a Premiership semi-final or something like that, just under his belt before a Scotland squad selection, that's high-quality rugby to sort of prove himself to Gregor Townsend.
He's got to be the most likely bolter, as in uncapped bolter for the World Cup.
Sure. Yeah,
by an absolute country mile.
I think I really want to see him capped in the summer, and I think they will pick
him. I think there's been enough talk by sort of well-connected people that
he's come out into as well
involved.
And said that Townsend's been in touch with him.
Yeah.
You're mad not to pick him.
I think there's got to be one Kiwi somewhere ready to ship over. Sure. There's got to be a John Hardy somewhere.
Yeah.
The bolter is going to be somebody that we've got no idea about.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Isn't Will Jordan like top try scorer in the Super Rugby at the moment?
Yeah, with like less caps than Rico Ione.
It's not going to be Will Jordan.
Mate, give him a half mil contract.
Yeah.
Ship him over. Stuart Hogg's direct replacement.
No one wants,
exactly.
No
one
wants the All Blacks jersey anymore. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
They want the Scotland jersey. That's
everyone wants the thistle.
Yeah. I asked for sort of talking points, and speaking of sort of Rory Hutchinson in Scotland centres, fan Craig Taylor said, here's his statement, Hugh Jones might not make the Scotland World Cup squad, which is a ridiculous statement to make. Scottish centres only have a shelf life of 2 years internationally under Townsend. There you go.
I mean, Hugh Jones will make the World Cup squad.
I agree.
100%. There's also like, who else do you have at 13? You've got what, Nick Grigg, Kyle Steyn. Looks like Bennett
might be
out
again.
Yeah.
I don't see Jimmy Johnson making the plane.
No.
So, although just saying that, Hugh Jones wasn't listed as injured and wasn't in the 23 at the weekend.
He's just chilling out with his bird.
He's in Barbados
on Instagram.
Part of his contract.
Yeah. But, you know, obviously Dave Rennie, appreciate Hugh Jones coming back from injury, but he's obviously decided that he trusts Kyle staying in that 13 position to do a job.
Yeah.
And then I guess once you have Pete Horn on the bench and Sam Johnson can go to 13, you just don't really need Hugh Jones on the bench.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So Hugh Jones is always going to have that difficulty if he's not in the 15.
It'll be interesting to see if he comes back for the Sammy.
Yeah.
So he's got 2.5 weeks now to sort of play himself back into that show. Yeah.
Well, it's like, how do you play yourself back? Like,
yeah.
It's just quite hard in training.
Really hard.
Well, there was a rumour going around about Glasgow and Ospreys having like a game in between. Yeah.
Oh, really?
I think Rennie poured cold water on that on the Warriors Weekly. He basically said that Ospreys weren't keen for some reason.
Got you. Because that is the worry. I know we're sort of jumping a little bit ahead, but it's literally 3 weeks between that.
Yeah, it's tough.
Edinburgh and Glasgow game and will probably be Glasgow at home to Ulster. You're no pushovers.
No.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll keep an eye on that. As you say, we have jumped forward a bit. We'll get right back into the Pro 14 endgame as the pod goes on. But why not now? Let's kick off our look back at the 1872 Cup with Matt's conversation with Glasgow back row Matt Ferguson.
So delighted to be joined on the line by Matt Ferguson. Matt, how are you?
Yeah, good. Yeah, the boys. I've had a good weekend off after the Edinburgh win, and yeah, just ready to get stuck into the next 3 weeks.
And how good did it feel to get that win at the weekend?
Yeah, it felt absolutely awesome. You know, Edinburgh have been class the whole season, and you know, obviously beating us twice over the Christmas period, and you know, we felt we would do them one at least, and we've been playing well the last few games, so yeah, it was just really good to keep the momentum going.
And what do you think was the difference between the weekend and the previous fixtures during the season?
I'd say probably, if it came down to one thing, it would probably be our physicality. You know, we sort of got caught out a bit the last few times we played them, and yeah, I thought our whole forward pack, and especially the back, even backs as well, really fronted at the weekend. You know, and that showed the fact that they didn't score until, you know, the 75th minute, I think it was. So yeah, managing to keep a team like that out, yeah, just showed the true character of the boys, and, you know, putting their bodies on the line.
And it must have been a pretty special time to sort of give Hoggy a bit of a send off at the end of the match.
Yeah, I think that was a bit unplanned. I don't think any of the boys really knew what was happening until he started singing out the Rattling Bog. But yeah, no, it was pretty special. You know, he's been exceptional, you know, through his whole career so far, especially at Glasgow. And, you know, he's awesome with the young guys. You know, he's obviously got so much knowledge of the game, and you know, it's easy for guys to pick his brain. So yeah, to give a bloke like that that sort of a send off was awesome, and to get us a home semi as well.
I mean, the only thing I'd say is that I don't know what's going on with his hair at the moment. That's the only bad thing I could say. What is that all about? Have you got any insight there?
Oh, yeah, I'm not sure. Initially, I thought it was a lost bet, but no, he seems to be starting a fashion trend. You know, so hopefully it takes off. Unsure at the moment. He got it re-dyed for the weekend, so yeah, he seems to be pretty happy with it.
So is what you're saying that you're going to start dyeing your hair for the rest of the season?
Absolutely not.
there was quite a good bit of chat. I don't know if you saw this from the Glasgow Warriors Twitter page, with a photo of the cup and some guidebooks to Romania and Russia. Did the players see that kind of stuff going on?
We got a mere glance of it on our WhatsApp group, and you know, the whole group sort of lit up as soon as we saw it, and our media guy Jack, yeah, he got a lot of laughs and a lot of love from the boys, and I think the fans loved it as well. But yeah, you know, that's just there's two awesome teams in Scotland, and you know, to have a bit of a banner like that as well, which is class. So yeah, I think it was taken very well, especially from our end. So
yeah, good stuff. I suppose you know, Dave Rennie's come out in the press in the last couple of days saying that, you know, after that Saracens loss, you guys were sort of embarrassed almost. I mean, what's been the response like since then? And, you know, do you think that loss is actually sort of could be a turning point for your season?
Yeah, you know, we've played Saracens four times in the last 3 years, and and we've lost every game. So I think to go down there, you know, we were pretty confident. We gave them a really good run in the first game at home, and then the second game again was really tight until about the 60th minute mark. But we just couldn't seem to finish it. You know, put games like that to bed, and then going down there, you know, we were quite confident throughout the week. You know, we had to have that sort of belief. And then, yeah, long story short, really, we got our pants pulled down. So, I think that boys are pretty gutted about that. There's a lot of emotion, especially on the trip back up. I think the response has been, you know, exactly what the coaches wanted, about, you know, what the players needed. Where, you know, we knew we had a tough run of games, and we had to win every one to secure a home semi. You know, and it's not an easy run of games either. You know, Ulster, Leinster away, and then Edinburgh at home. And I think the main thing that's changed for us is, you know, our defence. You know, boys are getting excited to come off the line and, you know, put in shots, and you know, it's a real team effort. You know, the double hits and yeah, just a real desire to want to defend and, you know, to not let teams score. And if they do, then they're zinging it out wide. You know, they're not going through us. So I think that's sort of the mentality and that's sort of the belief that Saracens defeat sort of spurred on.
That's really interesting. And so what does the next few weeks hold in store with the, you know, the semi-final on the horizon, but a bit of a gap in between? There's some chat of maybe having a friendly in that period?
We had our review today. You know, talked about a lot of things. We haven't heard anything from the coaches yet about a hit out, but yeah, probably wouldn't be a bad idea. You know, you want to keep that game edge, that match edge. The next 3 weeks sort of just looks like we're keeping things ticking over, keeping that intensity really high, and you know, we're not falling off, because it's easy to just, you know, you got a 3 week break, so it'd be quite easy just to, you know, sit off for 2 weeks and expect to just come back and flying. But we're heads are down, and then. And yeah, we're still working hard, so that's what the next 3 weeks looks like.
Good to hear. And obviously the final is going to be in Glasgow this year. Is that being used as motivation for the guys, or is it just sort of taking each game as it comes, and that's, you know, the prize at the end if you do get there?
I don't know. You know, obviously that's a massive thing for us, you know, having the final in Glasgow. And that's obviously been our goal from the beginning of the season. You know, how awesome it would be to play in front of all our home fans in the final of the league, and fingers crossed, hopefully get some silverware. I think we're taking every game as it comes. You know, it'd be easy to look past Edinburgh and, you know, hope that you know, Zebre beat Benetton or Munster managed to lose to Connacht or whatever. But you know, we've taken the games into our own hands. You know, looked at every week, you know, as each game, and focus on that solely. So it's obviously in the back of our minds, but yeah, we're taking every game as it comes.
Yeah, good stuff. And, you know, is there any sort of thoughts about the World Cup on the horizon, or are you just sort of trying to focus on your job at Glasgow at the moment?
I've been caught up before having, you know, thinking about things that are out of my control. So yeah, my focus is purely on doing my best and trying to get in the match jersey for Glasgow going into the semi-final, and then, you know, just making sure the team's all good and, you know, we're all firing going into that game against whether it be Ulster or Benetton.
And do the coaches, likes of Gregor Townsend, are they in touch, you know, as the season goes along, just sort of checking in on your progress?
I've had a chat with some of the coaches throughout the year. You know, I've chatted to Harry Wilson just after the November test, and Matt Taylor's called before as well. I think the more they called you, you know, every other week, then it's a lot of pressure put on you. So
yeah, sure.
I'm sure they call, you know, all the big dogs quite a bit. But I'm just sort of trying to keep my focus on the task at hand with Glasgow.
Definitely. The last question we tend to ask everyone is just, you know, in your time at Glasgow and Scotland, who's been the worst roommate you've had to share with?
The worst roommate?
Yeah.
I'd say my brother, but nah, I'm just joking. he's a pretty good roommate. The worst roommate—that's a tough one. I've not had any shockers. I've roomed with Darcy Ray. He's quite the snorer actually.
Oh really?
But yeah, but I'm quite a deep sleeper, so it didn't affect me too much. But yeah, I'd say probably one of the worst roommates to have would be someone who snores or yeah.
I've heard
who's up late.
Yeah, yeah, I've heard from quite a few people saying Murray McCallum's quite a dodgy roommate. Have you ever...
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Room with him.
I've never had the pleasure, sadly.
Oh, that's a shame.
But yeah, there's some vicious rumours flying around. I've heard from a lot of the young boys that yeah, Muzza's a pretty savage roommate to have. You know, you've drawn the short straw if you get him.
Well, hopefully we can get him on at some point to shed a bit more light on that. But Matt, yeah. thanks very much for your time. Really appreciate it, and best luck for the rest of the season.
Not at all, Matt. Thanks very much.
Cheers. Cheers. So there we go. It sounds once again that, you know, Murray McCallum's the guy you don't really want to room with.
Has somebody said Murray McCallum before?
I think a few people have said it.
Fuck.
Maybe...
Magnet.
We need to get the Magnet on to address these rumours head on.
Yeah, he's
we've had the prosecution.
Time.
It's time for the defence.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's get into it then. Obviously, Saturday night at Scotstoun. Glasgow running out very comfortable winners, 34 points to 10. Edinburgh now out of everything for next year. They're not in the playoff series of the Pro 14 and they're going to be dropping down to the Challenge Cup. But let's start on the positives of that Glasgow Warriors performance. Alan, give me some top line thoughts to kick us off.
I think probably the top line thought is that Edinburgh pack is almost like Scotland pack but a little bit better. Essentially, you got Pierre Schoeman in.
And Mata. Yeah.
Plus six people who you wouldn't bat an eyelid at if they were in the starting pack for Scotland, the
Absolutely,
World Cup.
Yeah.
So the fact that a Glasgow Warriors pack that included, you know, Jamie Batty, Ferguson, Cummings, Tom Gordon, Matt Ferguson, like pretty wet behind the ears, so guys, you know.
11 forwards injuries for Glasgow at the moment that they're carrying.
What really?
Said.
Yeah.
11.
Like,
yeah.
I actually think the most, it's people like Xander Ferguson, Scott Cummings, and Matt Ferguson who, you know, still all like sub 24.
Yeah.
And genuinely just out dominated a lot of those Edinburgh players and their opposite men.
Yeah, definitely. I think it just seems as if the likes of, as you say, I thought Xander Ferguson was really impressive. Tom Gordon coming in, doing a really good job. And it was just that kind of, I think, freshness that Edinburgh didn't quite have. Like, whenever, you know, Nell got the ball, he seemed quite ponderous. They've just had such a long season in many senses. And I think because Cockerill is, I think he has less faith in his wider squad than Rennie
correct.
Does.
So I was going to say.
He doesn't feel as confident rotating these guys, whereas Rennie does. It just seemed as if, like, personally, I didn't think Edinburgh, you know, they looked ponderous, they looked slow, but they didn't actually play, like, that badly, I didn't think. It was just that Glasgow were that 5% quicker to every breakdown. Clearly the counter-ruck was, a tactic, because Edinburgh do like to slow the ball down and let Henry Perigos kick, and that was a, you know, Price's try was a direct consequence of that. But you just saw guys like Harley, Ferguson, Ferguson brothers, just every rock, absolutely smashing it. There was just like a higher degree of enthusiasm, I think, which was probably the difference in the end.
Correct. Tom Gordon, you mentioned there, 17 tackles, none missed, and 3 turnovers. Decent shit.
And one of the
from
best
the Curry man.
One of the most best post-match interviews ever.
Yeah, if you haven't seen his post-match interview, we'll put it up on the Twitter at Thistle Rugby Pod. He's just he can barely string a sentence together.
Two things about Tom Gordon. He is so Kiwi. It's unbelievable.
He's so Kiwi.
He's so
he?
Kiwi. Yeah. And I love it.
Yeah, absolutely love it.
How is he 22? He like looks way like way older and than me and like grizzled.
Yeah.
But
that's just the Kiwi farm life.
Exactly.
It is the Kiwi farm life. But yeah, no, I mean, to be fair to him, you know, opposite man Hamish Watson, you know, he's been playing pretty well for Curry all year, but it's a pretty massive step up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And having to, he made a lot of tackles on Mata as well, which
sort of stymied Edinburgh.
Pretty horrible.
But going back to just the point around the amount of games, there was a stat earlier that I saw online a couple of days ago, which was saying it's about 4 times the amount of Edinburgh players have played 20 plus games this season.
Yeah. Yeah.
In comparison to Glasgow, I think it was around only 3 Glasgow players have played 20 plus games this season. And, you know, we've discussed it the last few weeks, but it's just matters, the case in point.
How many games has Mata played? He must have played essentially every game for Edinburgh has been fit.
Yeah.
And the Scotland lads went straight back in. Like, granted, Darcy Graham's about 14, but he came straight back from Scotland camp straight into that game the following Friday.
Yeah.
If I'm honest, if I'm Townsend, there's just part of me that is kind of happy they're out and they get an additional 2 weeks rest or whatever it
is. That's true. Yeah.
And kind of come back to that Scotland squad in a month's time fresh. Because... Yeah. If I'm honest, for what is essentially you have to win this game to not only stay in the playoffs, but to get into Europe next year. This is the 1872 Cup, and this is your last audition before the World Cup squad. From a lot of those Edinburgh players, I thought it was actually a bit pathetic. When there's that much on the line.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this isn't Cardiff Blues away in February. Like, this is like their biggest match of the season.
Yeah. No, I get what you mean. I think, you know... I think there is the element of fatigue coming in, and
it was lacking.
You know, I think Glasgow did outplay them in many ways.
It was the lack of cut through in attack, and I think you've seen that from the signings and stuff that they're making for next year. They're looking to sort of add a little bit to that side of the game. I mean, start of the second half, Edinburgh were camped in Glasgow's 22 line out scrums. They had Glasgow giving away penalties for fun at the breakdown, trying to stop them going forward. But they got away with it. Glasgow just defended for 8-9 minutes, cleared, and then went up the other end and scored a try.
Yes, it's been, you know, even during the more successful parts of the season for Edinburgh, it's felt like the attack has been their main weakness. We know how good that pack is. It's just that linking that sort of dominant forward ball through the halfbacks to a backline that, you know, we know has some really good, effective strike runners. Once again, Doohan didn't really get the ball until the end.
Hard to get out to him, yeah.
You know,
he got sat down by Nico Matawali for Matawali's try as well.
What, for the try?
For the try, yeah.
When he ran over.
It was Doohan was coming across.
It wasn't Doohan.
It was Pergos.
It was Pergos.
Fair enough, then. That's actually not as impressive. That's not as impressive, then.
It was he absolutely murdered him.
It was the most needless Bosch as well.
Yeah, he absolutely battered
him. So Matawali was like, this is the only guy...
Oh, yeah, it's one of those...
That
like,
I can do this to.
Yeah.
But I think Hickey getting a random shot, he's not really worked out this season. As
no,
I
he
said.
Hasn't.
I don't think Yako has. I think
Kinghorn's a big miss. Because if you think about the big European games and things like that, or when Edinburgh have looked good, Kinghorn has been, you know, running everything back, making yards when he's got his hands on the ball. He's such a skillful player.
Yeah, I think... Obviously, you want him in your team as an individual. I think the more sort of the structural problem is the 9-10 and the link.
Yeah.
And I think that Pergos, just particularly towards the end of the season, has been pretty poor. And I don't think that's all his fault. I mean,
Pergos.
You could see it particularly in the first half. You know, the amount of times that Edinburgh just sort of formed like one of those worms at the back of a ruck.
Yeah.
And this 5 second in the ruck rule and use it. Like, Mike Adamson was a joke. He was literally shouting at Pergos, use it for about 15 seconds. And then he picks up like a fairly ineffective box kick. And there's not that, there wasn't that much zip to his service. So, I mean, the fact is that Glasgow only had 35% possession in the match.
Yeah.
But the encouraging thing from Glasgow's perspective is how clinical they were. Like, you know, they didn't have that many chances to score and they converted all of them, which, you know, you think back to that semi-final against Scarlets last year, the amount of times they went to the corner or were in the 22 and didn't convert.
Completely agree.
You know, that's a really positive sign.
Yeah. Couple massive scrums from Glasgow as well, which I imagine is a huge sort of thing for them mentally, getting not just getting that physical win over Edinburgh, but to sort of prove that they can do that and they can match people physically. And I just don't think we've seen that enough from Glasgow, where they've been able to get on top of an opposition pack. I think we all hark back to that game against Saracens where we saw that Glasgow pack getting parity with like England's best.
Yeah.
And it seemed that this was another one where they managed to actually assert that dominance. And then when you set that back line off, it's, yeah, they're going to score some classy tries.
It's, yeah. And I guess just again, it's consistency. I mean, we've been here before, where Glasgow have sort of cruised to the top of the group last season and then just had that three-week break. And just failed to kind of maintain that performance level.
It does feel as if they've been aware of that and they are peaking a bit more.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of that is to do with rotation. Just because, as I said, like guys like Ferguson and I thought Batty as well was really impressive. They just looked so fresh and willing to go. Scott Cummings, again, had a really good game.
Scott Cummings was excellent.
He's been really impressive in the last few weeks. And that was the thing. You know, we've talked about it before, and we know they can score tries. It's just getting the other bits of their game right. And to do that to an Edinburgh team that has, you know, dominated a lot of big packs this season, I thought it was really encouraging.
Yeah, no, agreed. Are you think they're a bit sour now? They're letting Batty go?
I suppose they got Kebble. I don't know who else, really.
Other props.
I thought I was about to list it.
Other props,
I don't know,
are available.
I mean, Batty's barely played this year, though.
He couldn't get a game.
Yeah.
He played quite a lot last year, to be fair, and that's what got him a Scotland cap, but then he didn't get in for quite a lot of the season. So
I noticed down a couple of things, see if you agree with these. Ali Price looking much back to his best.
Yeah, I mean, Price and Horn both looking just really good. I think either can start, either can come on with 30 minutes to go, and you're kind of happy about it, to be honest with you.
Agreed. Yeah, definitely. Second statement I wrote down, Tommy Seymour finding a bit of form.
Yeah. I mean, like, even from the first kickoff when
he obviously murdered Watson.
Yeah. It was massive, wasn't it?
It's, which is good to see. I think, you know what, people just chatting about how Darcy Graham's better than him, it's just like got to him so hard.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
He's just like, fuck all you guys.
Got a long way to go, Darcy.
Yeah. Because, I mean, essentially, there is one spot in that back three open. I think Maitland and Hogg will start no matter what in the World
Cup. Yes, I think you're right.
And I think it's Tommy, Darcy, or maybe even Blair Kinghorn if he gets back fit, are all fighting for that third spot.
I completely agree with that.
So if he can, you know, he's been playing pretty well in the last few games, and if he can sort of continue on to the semi-finals and final, he probably, Jen, just sneaks up ahead of those two.
I think so. He's got that experience. It's just, with him, it's like making sure that he has, like, the enthusiasm 100%. You know, because you know that if he gets an opportunity, he's a very good finisher. It's just like the other parts of the game. We know he's a good support runner and everything, so...
Yes.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty impressive.
Agreed. And then, I suppose, speaking about Scotland, I also wrote down Sammy J just keeps getting better. Is that Scotland 12 jersey his now?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
He seems to have kicked on. He had an amazing Six Nations, and he's really kicked on. That try scored against Ulster, and just his performance has been super high quality.
Once every sort of 2 months on our WhatsApp group, someone asks where Donkey Taylor is.
Yeah, I know.
Where is Donkey Taylor? Well, I think the last update we had was that he was back training, and it was June. June was looking good.
Yeah.
I think he's become a bit of a myth in his absence. Like, I think people were sort of overestimating his abilities slightly. But, I mean, great to have him there. But
I still hope I hope he makes that Scotland squad. I hope he plays Tbilisi away. Duncan Taylor gets a wee hat trick, and the myth grows and grows.
But it doesn't feel like you're going to put him in the 13 position. Feels like he's a 12 or 15, or do you think he can slot in that 13 next to Sam Johnson?
I think he's probably a better defender than all of the other centres we've got at 13, actually.
Yeah.
So if you want to sort of have that 13 channel sewn up, where we know Hugh Jones has been there's been some question marks.
Because you have both of them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, that's what I mean. I think it just shows, like, someone like Sam Johnson, you've picked him from obscurity, from as being like a Reds backup player.
Yeah.
I think so much of this, like, top level rugby is about opportunity. Like, same with Thomas Gordon. But it sort of makes me think that, like, if we had a third pro team and it was viable and everything, that, like, you know, Jamie Batty could be a starter every week in big matches. And I just think Finn Russell, even when he was coming through, like, only a few coaches like Townsend would have given him a shot.
Yeah, that's true.
Otherwise, he would have been playing for, like, might still be playing for Falkirk.
No, that's not true. Finn Russell would not still be playing for Falkirk.
Well, he wouldn't be playing for Falkirk, but he might not be playing pro rugby.
I think Finn Russell would have got through no matter what.
Why did it take him so long to become a pro then?
He was like 21 when he became a pro.
But he didn't get a contract or anything.
He got missed in that age group.
Yeah, exactly. Period,
but he still came through.
Well, eventually.
Yeah, but he still came through.
Like, but it took longer than other players in his age group, and he wasn't a starter under 20, for example.
Look, I agree. I think sometimes players develop later than others.
Yeah.
And I think we all agree, when we win the Euro Millions, we will form the third pro team.
Well, there
we'll
you go.
We'll chuck the money at it. It'll be fine.
I honestly think the third pro team would be like the bankruptcy of Scottish rugby, and actually wouldn't add that much.
I'm flying to straight to Washington, D.C., pumping in 100 mil to Old Glory. It's happening.
Maybe get like the SNP to bankroll a third pro team.
Yeah, but like have it in like Thurso, like a real like high, like get some funding from like the Highlands Institute.
That sounds quite good, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that would be good.
There's some sort of local council, general government
Here's
funding.
Here's a grant. Like, this grant's not enough.
We should put a penny on tax to raise a pro team.
Yeah.
Pro team tax. I'd vote for that.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd vote for increased taxes specifically for that. Anything else to say on 1872? I suppose the bigger discussion point, and maybe we'll get to this when we do an end of season wrap up, but what does it mean for Edinburgh? We touched on it last week that, you know, we've been talking about their rise and Project Cocker is going so well. But I mean, like, here they are in nothing, season over. And, you know, they've finished fifth in their conference in the Pro 14, and they're not playing Champions Cup rugby next year.
Rub it in, mate.
I will rub it in.
I do think there's just been that depth issue.
Yeah.
Like, they haven't had to deal, in the last 5 years, they haven't really had to deal with a lot of players going to Scotland. And this year, essentially, their pack, plus a couple of other forwards, has been going every international break.
And then when they come back, it's sort of, right, you've got to play Montpellier away or Toulon away.
Yeah.
With big matches. I think hopefully next season, you know, guys like Cam Hunter-Hill have had, like, a lot more pro rugby under their belt.
Yeah, agreed.
And a few other guys coming through that you maybe develop a bit more of that depth. But I think the signings they have made so far seem quite sensible. But
I think 9-10. The weird thing about, like, having Pergos there is going to win. You'll win the odd big game by just playing that sort of structured rugby. But I just think, so long term, that 9-10 combo they've got, or the people they've got at 9-10, just isn't going to win you the league and isn't going to get you.
I agree, but I mean, they've spent probably decent money on Hickey, and decent money on Nyako van der Vaal, decent ish. I doubt they're going to go out again to buy another.
Not for next year.
Foreign qualified 10, which, you know, I think they need, but I doubt they're going to do so. It's sort of more about sort of adapting the team around who you think your best 9 and 10 are going to be. It'd be interesting to see, because it does seem as if there's rumours that they are going to buy another 9.
Yes.
Well, they need to, because they're getting rid of Fowles and Kennedy.
Yeah.
So there is big squad.
So it'd be interesting to see who they get there, but yeah, that I think that's still the main issue.
Well, we'll see.
Oh, as it on On Top of the Moon posted some quite good stats.
Oh, yeah, they
about
were good.
Glasgow. So, most points won by Glasgow over a season ever.
Yep.
Most tries scored ever by Glasgow in the Pro 14, and most points scored ever by Glasgow in the Pro 14. And only the second most wins than they got.
15 bonus points, something like that.
Yeah. Out of 16, after 16 wins.
Yeah.
I think it was 15.
I think it is 15 bonus points. I don't know how many, but that's a lot.
So, yeah. Again, you know, they obviously had a pretty consistent season last year, and they've sort of just kind of added that extra layer. Kind of underappreciate that, I think, what they've won away at Leinster and Munster this year as well, which is, you know, pretty big for this team.
Yeah, like, definitely.
They've been the two teams, you know, I appreciate we lost to Scarlets last year, but it feels like Munster and Leinster have been the two kind of teams that Glasgow have struggled to raise themselves for.
Where do you put Glasgow then as sort of favourites, second favourites, third favourites for the Pro 14?
Second favourites.
I think they're second favourites behind Leinster.
But then at home.
Yeah, if you get to home final. Like,
Celtic Park could be absolutely massive.
We're at a wedding that day.
Such bullshit.
So annoying. It's always wedding.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's at 6:30 though, so it's like after service, but like hopefully just before dinner.
I really hope we're at the same table.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll move some people around.
Yeah, we'll move some people around. Get of us streaming up. It on the phone. Yeah.
It'll be no Wi-Fi though, and it's quite rural.
Oh, damn it. Let's take a little like booster.
Yeah. I know. I don't know. I feel like the last 2 weeks, there's been like a real rise in interest in that kind of Celtic Park final. I've had a couple of people message me like, keen to get tickets. I reckon they'll sell out 60,000.
I think if Glasgow get there, they will.
If Glasgow get there, I think they'll sell out.
Yeah.
I think what will be class will be the semi. 10,000 at Scotstoun, the semi against Ulster or Connacht. That will be absolutely bouncing. I think that extra capacity at Scotstoun makes a massive difference.
Yeah, I think it does.
I think they like slightly have raised ticket prices for the semi.
Have they? Oh, of course they have.
Oh, it's like going to add 20% to
Dodson
that.
Dodson was just like, hello
there. Yeah, an 5 minutes zero after, on that. It's like price elasticity has loosened. Let's open this up.
We will be with you every week and to see how Glasgow get on, hopefully getting to that final and giving us all something to cheer on into May. Should we finish off with the Ross Ford quiz?
The Ross Ford quiz.
I can already tell you I'm going to be really bad at this.
It sounds hard.
It's going to be relatively hard and quite boring.
Oh, good. So that's perfect radio.
I like those quizzes.
Bit like Ross Ford.
Go on then.
Very good.
Go on then.
Right, I'm going to kick things off with the usual. An easy question. How many Scotland caps does Ross Ford have?
Okay.
It's not that easy.
Really easy question.
Is that's the easier end of the scale? I've got a number written down.
Yeah,
so that's
a round
fine.
Number.
That's fair. How many Lions caps does Ross Ford have, and what game is it?
I do know that.
I think that's right. Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Ross Ford has played 44 times for Scotland in Six Nations / five. No, just Six Nations. What is his winning percentage?
Oh my God, it must be so low.
That must be low. I'm going for that.
I'm going for that. How about that? Slightly, yeah. Go on then.
What year and month then did Ross Ford have his debut for Scotland? And if you can name who it was against, you win the quiz.
Year and month.
Year and month and opponent, but if you get the opponent.
Year and month.
If you get all three right, you win the quiz.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you some of the names that were in the team that he was in.
Yeah.
Stuart Moffat at fullback. Centre combo of Morrison and Andy Henderson. Dan Parks and Cusseter at 9-10. Jacobson, Bullock, Bruce Douglas starting front row. And then a back row of Scott Gray, Donny McFadden, Ali Hogg.
Oh, Scott Gray.
Scott Gray.
Oh, yeah.
Donny McFadden looked all right for a few games.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I don't know my shout's right, but I quite like it.
And I was at a house party with Donnie McFadden once, and he was wearing jeans and like an Under Armour skin like thermal.
Oh no, that's actually the worst.
That's actually so
bad. And a backwards cap, and I was like, ah, Donnie, you're obviously a dick, aren't you?
That was this was still back in the day when you only needed one prop replacement.
Oh,
so geez, the front row was Ross Ford and Craig Smith on the bench.
Oh, Craigie.
Old Santa.
Lovely. Right, go on then.
The last question is, Ross Ford appeared in a series of, well, actually, he was put on the box of a Scottish food item. What was that food item? I want brand and food.
What's the...
Also used were Max Evans and Chris Patterson.
I can think of the photo. What's the brand? Okay. Yeah, I think I've got that.
I think it is as well.
Right. First question.
I like that quiz, by the way. It was good.
That was a good quiz, actually. Right.
Dave, number of Scotland caps?
105.
I put the exact same.
It was 110.
Oh, 110. I suppose
110. That's the record, isn't it?
Yes, that's the record. I think it was something like... Because I think he became the most capped hooker when he went past Bullock, most capped forward when he went past Scott Murray, and then he became most capped player when he went past Chris Patterson.
Yeah.
He must be on like the pretty high on like the global hookers list.
Yeah, like him and Best must be Best. Two of the highest.
Best.
Mia Lamu's the highest.
Mia Lamu's probably the highest.
John Smith. Oh, but he played quite a lot of prop in his list, didn't he?
Lions tests or tests?
I think it's just one, the last test of the 2009 Lions.
I've got one SA third test.
Both correct.
Oh, good.
Well done. What was the next question I asked?
Before that tour, there was quite a lot. That was peak Ross Ford around about 2009. A lot of people were saying he could be a...
Then he got exposed to a higher level and everyone was like...
Everyone's like, oh no.
Same with Ewan Murray. He was talked up as being a starting prop.
It was the same with Mike Blair.
Yeah, I know.
I remember the first game of that tour, Mike Blair got picked at nine and had an absolute shocker.
Was Mike Blair the first game at your house?
Yeah, I remember that, actually.
The Lions were terrible and Mike Blair was particularly bad.
Yeah.
Was Mike Blair not nominated for Player of the Year in that time as well? So he was on good form. It's a shame.
Yeah.
Winning percentage.
Winning percentage.
In Six Nations.
Very quickly, Ross Ford is the fifth most capped hooker of all time.
Oh yeah,
that does include John Smith though.
Okay,
who I think obviously is a bit dodgy. That does include Rory Best. Mia Lamu's number one. Do you know who the other one is? Southern Hemisphere.
Stephen Moore.
Very good.
Yeah. Winning percentage during the Six Nations for Ross Ford. What have you got?
I think I've gone too low. 17.
I went 35.
Dave takes it for being closest. I've got 24.5%.
I had 24 written down and I revised it down to 17.
It's fine, doesn't matter. You got the point. You're 2-1 up.
I'm happy with that. I'm not going to get this next one though.
To take the win, straight up, all three. We'll start with you, Matt. Year, right. Month, opponent.
I'm going 2005, Japan in November.
You got one of the three.
Oh.
What have you got?
Which one?
And none of them the same as yours?
No, none of them are. I had 2004, February, Italy.
You both get 1 point.
Okay.
November and 2004.
November 2004.
This is a test
South
against...
South Africa.
No.
Okay.
Against Australia.
Okay. Okay.
When we...
Did he start?
No, he was on the bench with Craig Smith.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we lost 31-14. Mortlock, Rathbone, Kiri.
I was at that game.
Wait.
I remember it. I was at that game, yeah. Not that I remember it as I was there when Ross Ford made his debut.
You were there. So Luke, 3-2 to Dave going into the final question.
Yeah.
I'll start with you, Dave. What brand did Ross Ford essentially kind of market for?
Scott's Porridge Oats.
What have you got?
I've also got Scott's Porridge Oats.
That is correct. Dave is the winner.
I can't believe I won the Ross Ford quiz. I'm absolutely delighted about that. That was good.
Yeah.
So I get an extra point if I tell you who owns Scott's Porridge's.
You get an extra half point.
Quaker.
That is correct.
Oh, so it's a substitute Quaker.
Can I tell you, if I get another half point, who owns Quaker?
No. Oh. Who does own Quaker? I'm just generally interested.
Pepsi.
Ah.
Do they?
Yeah.
Ross Ford in the pocket of big Pepsi. Yeah, exactly.
Didn't the Hound do Scott's Porridge
adverts? He did,
adverts?
Yeah. What's his name?
The Hound from Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Greg
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Hound and Ross Ford. Yes, he was in Hot Fuzz, isn't he? Yeah. Yeah.
That's a great question. What's Ross Ford's link to Game of Thrones? Well, let's call it a day there then. We've got to go to work. Thanks again for joining us. Follow us on Twitter.
When you type in the Hound on Google, the first thing that comes up is the Hound Porridge.
Oh, really?
It's a full advert.
It's like a really weird... Have you ever seen the advert? It's where he comes out of the lake and like the women think he's naked, but he's actually wearing a sporran.
Interesting. Covering.
Just a sporran?
Just a sporran, because he's like, they see his kilt on the shore, and they're like, ooh, and he comes out of the
You've been watching
water.
This recently?
I did actually watch it. I was explaining it to my girlfriend, who was just really confused by the whole affair.
Shall we call it a day there, then, lads?
Yes. On that note.
Thistle Rugby Pod on Twitter, Thistle_Rugby_Pod on Instagram, or slide into the mailbag, thethistlerugby@gmail.com. See you soon.
See ya.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.